This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by SiteGround. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. My name is Cal Evans. I'm your host, and my special guest today is Mr. Sammy Powers. Say hi to everybody, Sammy.
Hello, everybody.
Now, Sammy's professional. He's got the mic in front of him. My mic's off to the side because I'm still getting my rig all set up. So that's why I'm looking over here at all that. Anyhow, hey, before we get started, I want to give a shout-out to our sponsor, SiteGround. We'll talk a little bit more about them during the show. Sammy, I've been noticing on Twitter lately that you've been tweeting an awful lot about hacking, especially with Sarah Goldman.
Yes.
And you're hacking on PHP 7.2, right?
Yes, she is in Chicago for a little bit, mm-hmm. and I took advantage of that opportunity to say, hey, let's go meet up at Starbucks and hack on some internal stuff. Because
nice.
As you may or may not know, she is pretty much a genius internals contributor and was one of the main people driving the runtime that Facebook has for PHP and both Hackling HHVM. Mm-hmm. So I had to take advantage of that. And so we've been working on some experimental ideas for something for PHP 7.2.
Give us a couple ideas about what you're working on, the things you can talk about. Well, I guess it's open source, so there shouldn't be anything you couldn't talk about. Tell us a couple of the exciting things you're working on.
Well, the first thing that actually has passed in the RFC world, so the RFC is basically the way that features get added to PHP. So one of the features that passed was something that has to do with trailing comma list syntax. So in a typical list syntax like an array, you can have a trailing comma for the last element in that array, and mm-hmm. the PHP parser is not going to care. It's like, yay, you have a trailing comma, no big deal. But there's no more places in PHP where you could have a trailing comma. So the original RFC was to allow trailing commas for function calls, so that if you have a function like unset that you wanted to have a bunch of variables and you just want to list them line after line after line, you could leave a trailing comma and it wouldn't care. But right now it does.
Yeah.
And then somebody said, hey, why don't we beef this up and just say all list syntax within PHP? Let's just make them all so that they can accept trailing commas. And there's lots of different list syntax, you know, like if you're defining multiple properties on a class, for example, you can do that in a list syntax. But I put up all of these individual votes for this one RFC that said, hey, here's all the different types of syntax we could add a trailing comma to. Which one would you like? And they would say yes or no, yes and no. None of them passed except for one. And the one really obscure thing that no one ever uses, the grouped namespace syntax, which a lot of people don't even know exists, but you can actually group your namespace syntax at the beginning when you are at the very top of your file when you type, you know, use and then like your big long path to whatever it is you're trying to reference. And you can combine multiple, we could say class names under the same namespace, for example.
Yeah,
and so that's the syntax that in 7.2 you will allow it will allow you to leave a trailing comma at the end of that list syntax. And I was like, but this is probably the most useless feature that's ever been added to PHP. But it passed, so I've got to add it. And then right when I was kind of like hacking on it at Midwest PHP with Derek Rethens, who was it? Somebody I think it was Woody Gilk. Walked behind us and was like, what are you guys hacking on? I was like, oh, we're adding trailing list syntax to group namespaces. He's like, oh, I just ran into that with one of my projects. It was airing out because we had a trailing comma there. And I was like, oh, hey, finally, somebody's going to actually use this. So at least one person will find it useful.
I got to admit, this to me reminds me of the new syntax or the new array syntax that was added in 5.4. Yeah, 5.4. Yeah.
Yeah.
I looked at that and I said, "That's stupid. We've already got a way to define arrays, you know." And I look at this trailing comma thing and I go, "That's stupid. You know, who would need this? Just remove the name comma." But it turns out that I am now a huge fan of the new array syntax. I use it everywhere,
Yes. And
I'm sure that this one will grow on me very quickly too. You know, but just at first glance, I'm like, just more code in the code base, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and speaking of that syntactic sugar, if you will, of kind of making things not so verbose and ugly and easier to read, that's the other feature that me and Sarah were both hacking on the most, and it is the new retry keyword that actually Phil Sturgeon sent me a message a long time ago and was like, hey, if you want to add something cool to PHP, add this thing from Ruby, which basically is a keyword retry that you can use in a catch block to send you back up to the try block. So in a typical situation, if you have a try catch, so at the beginning you try something and it throws an exception, in the catch block you can run some code, and in Ruby you can just use the keyword retry, then it'll send it back to the top of the try block. And this is really handy for something like failed HTTP requests that are, you know, kind of like, hey, something failed, but try again later because you're just hitting a throttle limit or whatever it is. So that's a really, really common occurrence, especially with the projects I use. They just tie into APIs all the time. So, my typical solution actually is to use a goto. I know that's nails against the chalkboard for a lot of people, but this is the perfect scenario to use a goto to basically set up a label right before the try and just say goto the label before the try if it fails. So, and you know, it's a pretty clean solution, but it's still, you know, there's still quite a bit of boilerplate to track the number of attempts that it's done, and then, you know, bail out if it's reached the max attempt. So the new retry syntax would actually be a new block to the try catch block. I originally posted something on Twitter that was showing how the syntax would look if we had like a retry statement inside a catch block. But after talking with a bunch of nerds and help and a lot of help from Twitter and Sarah, we've kind of come up with a really cool, clean syntax that allows you to add a new block under the try block called retry, and then you specify just an int or a constant that defines how many times you want it to retry, and then a code block that will catch specific exceptions that you want to retry, because you might not necessarily want to retry a whatever throwable, but you might want to retry like an HTTP exception, for example, and then you put in a piece of code block that will only execute right before a retry, which is the coolest part about this that I don't think a lot of people get when they first hear about retry, because a lot of internals people are like, oh, this is not going to pass. In fact, today Nikita Pavlov was like, I give your RFC a 0.01% chance of passing, and he might be right, but I think they don't, they haven't heard the full argument for it yet, but the best thing about it is that you are able to, for example, sleep one right before retry, so you don't retry immediately. And these are kind of cases that you can handle with if statements and control structures and all that stuff. But there's a lot of boilerplate. It's a lot harder to read if you've got all that stuff thrown into a retry. And then there's lots of user land implementations of retries using callbacks and all kinds of stuff. But those, they're again really hard to read. And at the opcode level, they're using a lot more opcodes than we necessarily have to. So this is not only cleaner syntax, but also a little bit more efficient and just cleaner and easier to read. So we'll see how it goes. I'm still working on the implementation. I've already scrapped the first attempt at an implementation, and I'm working on the second one, which is a little bit hairier because we now that it's at the same level as a try-catch keywords, it's I have to go in there and mess with all the catch code, and the implementation for dealing with exceptions is really ugly. Plus, when we implemented finally, the implementation was just kind of like really gross. And in fact, I found a couple little dingleberries left over from an implementation attempt for it finally, and I was like, I found these random things in here, and they don't seem to be referenced anywhere. So what do we do with this? And Nikita Popoff was like, yeah, just remove it. So we just removed some code that was just in there because we were trying to figure, or not we, but they were trying to figure out how to implement finally, and it was just a mess. So I got to deal with all that. So that's been
fun stuff. Yeah. I have a feeling this is one of the, as somebody who teaches developers, and that's basically my career arc these days, whether it's through Zend or Nomad PHP or Daycamp, teaching developers is what I do, and as somebody who teaches developers, I kind of like this because there's going to be a lot of confusion and a lot of people using it wrong, and it gives me an opportunity to teach things, because I teach, starting with 7, when we got errors, I've been telling everybody, look, you're not going to recover from errors like you recover from exceptions. You know, we throw exceptions all over the place, but errors are something went horribly wrong in your application, you know? And usually you're not going to recover from that. And I know we're going to get people that are trying to recover from something that used to be a fatal error, and it's just going to keep looping, you know, and they're going to say, why isn't this working? So find this awesome.
Oh, yeah, me and Sarah were sitting there coming up with all different scenarios, thinking like, oh, if we have this, we have two retry blocks that are both catching exceptions from this other catch block, but then all of a sudden that throws an exception that kicks us back up to this retry, and then we found out all kinds of like ping pong, like, yeah, like what's the divergent or an insurgency? What is the name of that movie?
Inception.
Inception. Yeah, it was total Inception.
Yeah, and that's going to be interesting to see how that goes. Also, usually it's these kind of new features that spawn the best talks at conferences. You know, we'll get some great talks out of that, sure. And I look forward to seeing some of those. Hey, let's switch a little bit because 7.2 is fun, but you and I are both podcasters, and every time I get together with a podcaster, I like to geek out about podcasting. You do PHP Town Hall, is that correct?
PHP Roundtable.
Roundtable. You know, I asked you before that. I think the problem was I was watching Ben and Amanda last night on Town Hall, and that just kind of stuck in my head. You do PHP Roundtable, and talk to me about the format of that. I mean, I've been on it a couple times. I know what the format is, but tell others who don't know, what is the format, and why did you choose that particular format?
Well, PHP Town Hall... is not my podcast. I just said it myself. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, the podcast that I have, PHP Town Hall. I mean, PHP Roundtable. I don't know why everybody gets that confused. Like, even yesterday when they were streaming, I got a couple of Twitter notifications from I think Andrew Woods was in there. He's like, hey, PHP Roundtable streaming live. I was like, oh crap, is it? Because I must have put it on. I was like, oh, never mind. It's PHP Town Hall. Yeah, PHP Roundtable is basically a podcast of developers discussing topics that PHP nerds care about. And each episode, I bring on a couple of guests who are experts in a particular idea, or want to discuss a particular idea, or maybe are new to an idea and they want to kind of discuss it live. And that's really the whole point of the podcast, which is basically learning something from other developers. And the inspiration came from just going to different nerd events and like PHP Tech and like ZenCon and all that, and being like, holy moly, there's all these people just sitting around a table and talking about random stuff. Like I learned about how like so much stuff about PHP internals on the first event that I went to, and I was like, wow, this, I didn't know any of this stuff even existed, and these people are just talking about it like off the cuff at the table. And I was like, this would be so cool if we could just make this public, and if these these conversations were recorded and other people could learn, just like I've been learning from them. And so that was the main inspiration, and I was like, well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to just make a podcast that kind of shows me learning, because I'm learning from these things too. I've learned so much from my own podcast because I do all this research beforehand, and then talking with the people, they help influence my ideas and thoughts, and it's just been super educational for myself. So it pushes me to constantly look for, okay, what's this next thing? Like, I still haven't swallowed the Docker Kool-Aid yet, but I've gotten really close to doing it. Like, I'm like on the cusp of switching from Vagrant to Docker. So it is happening slowly or surely. But this would have never happened, I don't think, or it would have happened much later if I didn't have the PHP Roundtable to talk with other developers about this. And this is this is something that I think a lot of people are starting to find useful, to like just sit in their car and kind of absorb some secondhand knowledge of just like, okay, I could be listening to music or I could be learning. And you know, it's not everybody's a podcast person. Not everybody can learn from a podcast format. But for those who do, I've gotten a lot of really great feedback from them.
Well, I do. I listen to an awful lot of marketing podcasts because I get my fill of talking to developers day in and day out, but I pretend to be an amateur marketer, and that's one of my passions. And so I listen to those all the time, whether I'm riding my bike. I mean, that's what I listen to when I ride my bike, or if I, like today, I was just out running errands, and I had my podcast, my headphones on, and I'm listening to podcasts the whole time because it just, you know, every now and then something will just sink in, and I'm like, I gotta go look at that. And I know what you mean about Docker. We'll take a sidebar on this one, but I I've been struggling with Docker, and I've read Chris Fidao. I've read his book, and I've read Tankersley's book, and they're both wonderful books, but it's just not sinking into this old man's brain. And Adam Culp basically loaded up a Docker container with all these PHP quality control tools, and he goes into the root directory of your application, fires this thing up, it runs for 10, 20 minutes, and then it just spews reports, you know, and he says, you know, this way I can take this, I can move it to a client's computer, as long as they got Docker, I can do it this way. And so I got to playing with it, and I'm looking at the same kind of concept for publishing books, because, you know, working with the tool of the trade is Pandoc, but oh my God, Pandoc is a pain. There's so many dependencies and everything. And now I've got it all contained in one little Docker container, and I've got a script that builds me a PDF, an EPUB, and a MOBI. All, you know, just it looks at my markdown and says, boom, there it all is. So I'm joining the Docker generation now, but I'm not quite ready to start using it in production on my web servers or anything, you know, what everybody else uses it for. But for the containerizing these applications, especially if they've got a lot of dependencies and stuff like that, man, it is awesome.
Absolutely. I think, in fact, Davey Shafik was using a Docker container, some kind of build that would basically tag and tarball up new releases for PHP, since he was the release manager for PHP 7.1. Or still is, one of them. So, and I think now that Sarah Goldman and Remy Collett, something like that, are now officially release managers of PHP 7.2, I'm sure they'll get the that Docker build that they can just, you know, do some regular releases.
All hail Queen Sarah. So, a lot of people, I'm surprised, they don't know the history of the language. I was teaching a class one time, and off the top of my head, I just mentioned Andy and Zev. And I had a student raise their hand and said, who are Andy and Zev? I was blown away. But a lot of people don't know. Sarah is old guard core contributor. And you know, she did the libssh wrapper or something like that. One of SSH or SSL or one of those. I mean, one of the core pieces that we all use. And she was one of the ones that did that. And she's been around, and she's the release manager for 7.2. But, you know, her and Derek, and there's a few others that have been around for a long time. A lot of the core is newer, but it's good that we have some of this old card hanging around, and we really appreciate what Sarah does, and love her to death. Every time we're at a conference, I like to spend some time with her. So, and speaking of podcasting, you're right, the conversations that just pop up, especially at lunch tables and stuff like that, at conferences, are phenomenal. And that we were having one at ZenCon. She was talking to Liz Smith about something. I forget the topic, but it was so fascinating that I said, stop. Don't keep talking about it. Let me go grab my mic, and we're going to record this. And we sat down and recorded an episode of Voices of the Elephant at ZenCon that was the two of them talking the pros and cons of this different internals implementation that they were considering. And
Were they rerunning streams?
Yes.
Is that what it was?
That's what it was.
I do remember them talking about that.
Listening to them go back and forth. And, I mean, you know, 90% of it's right over my head, you know?
Right.
I understand the words individually, but when you put them together like they do, it's like, no, I'm not getting it.
I know, it's crazy.
It's just fascinating, and that to me is one of the great things about going to a conference is just being able to sit at the table and listen to these people. And there is no admission to sitting at the core developers table. There is no cool kids table at most of these conferences. It's just wherever you get a seat, and if you're lucky enough to be there and listen, it happens. So.
Absolutely.
Hey, let's do something before we go to our final topic. I want to give a shout-out to our sponsor, SiteGround. See, every website needs hosting, but not all hosts are the same. If you're looking for a rock-solid and secure host for your website, your web application, or your web store, check out SiteGround. They're rock-solid technical people. They're easy to work with when it comes to support, but now here's the important part. They're fun people to hang around. I mean, if you ever run into them at a PHP conference or a WordCamp or something, go sit around, just hang out with them for a little while. You'll see what I mean. They're just fun people. More importantly, though, when you're ready to select the host for your next web app, check them out. You can find more information at siteground.com. Make sure you tell them Cal sent you. Let's talk about the last topic, which is your first contribution to the core, CSpring.
It was my first feature, absolutely, that I contributed to PHP. My first contribution was actually a test. I wrote a PHP T test, which is one of the tests that PHP uses to test itself. So a lot of people think that, oh, I have to know C in order to contribute to internals, but they really don't. They can add tests to test the language because all the tests are written in PHP files. The extension is PHP T. Yeah. So that was my very first contribution after being inspired talking with random people at I think it was PHP Tech 2014, actually. I think. Was that 2014? Somewhere around there.
Very cool.
Yeah, but that eventually led into, you know, the PHP Roundtable, and after inviting a lot of people onto the PHP Roundtable and a lot of internals people, I kept feeling this urge to get involved in PHP internals a little bit more, and there, after working on the PHP SDK for Facebook, there was a PR that came in that was basically upgrading how CSERF tokens were generated. Basically, the token that you don't want to have predicted by a potential attacker, just a random string. And I think we were using like mtrand and unique ID and making an MD5 hash of that or something like that to generate like 32 random characters, which is, you know, it seems pretty random. And this individual had contributed a PR that was saying, like, hey, we're going to make this better. And it was basically not very descriptive. It just said better random number generator, and it added a bunch of code. And at the time, I was like, I don't know what this is. So we ended up closing it. And then and then he went off on me because he's an InfoSec guy, and InfoSec guys can be mean sometimes. But he was actually had a really good point. It was actually Scott Arsizewski. He and I are actually buddies now. Yep. Yeah. And he's a big, actually he's been getting involved in internals too, and in 7.2 he's the main force behind pushing adding modern cryptography to the standard lib, which is libsodium. So that's going to be really a great thing. He was also pioneering the Viking funeral for mcrypt, the mcrypt extension, which is officially removed in 7.2 and will has been moved to the Pickle repository, aka Pickle. But yeah. I hear Elizabeth Smith in the background saying, "It's Pickle. The logo's a pickle."
Well, no, wait a second. That just got deprecated in 7.1. They're actually removing it in 7.2.
There is no more mcrypt extension in the master branch of the PHP source code. I voted yes for that, and in the RFC, and I also thought, like you did, it was, oh, we're going to remove it in 8, but there was a little mention in the RFC that we're removing it in 7.2, and I totally missed that. And so when I went to go look for it, I was like, where is this code? I can't find it. Oh, it's in Pickle now.
You were looking for it just to mock it, obviously, because nobody uses that. So.
Right. Yeah, I was actually for a talk.
I'm glad that you mentioned Scott. How did you pronounce Scott's last name?
Arsizewski. I've worked a lot on how to pronounce that.
I have. Never actually met Scott, but and when I talk to, or when I talk about him, usually to Kathy, I say, you know, Scott, and she'll say, Scott who? And I say, Scott, blah, blah, blah. Oh, okay. Because I'm horrible with names. You and Scott both are going to be at the next Day Camp for Developers, which is Day Camp for Developers PHP AppSec. And we've got a great lineup, the two of y'all. For those of you listening, it's a secret. We'll announce it Monday. But, you know, we've got the two of y'all coming up as well as three other excellent speakers. Mm-hmm. But you're going to be talking about the CSpring and how to use it, the proper use for it, and stuff like that. Give us just a little taste of what your day camp talk is about.
A little taste. I'm really going to have to throttle myself because I want to go long and long time on this. But just sort of thinking about how I could give you a teaser without getting into too much detail. Convincing you the importance of needing something called a CSpring, a cryptographically secure pseudo-random number generator. So if you're used to using RAND or mtrand to generate random numbers, those are not good for use in cryptographic contexts. And the reason is because they're not seeded from a place that's very hard to guess. In fact, it's quite easy to guess the sequence of numbers that could be generated by RAND or mtrand. Mm-hmm. So we need something that is not easy to guess, because if we're using something like RAND or mtrand to generate like a password, for example, and we don't want people to predict what that password is going to be, then an attacker could figure out the sequence of numbers that the random generator is producing, and then figure out what password or CSERF token or initialization vector or padding, whatever, like whatever you're trying to do in a cryptographic context, don't use RAND or MT-RAND.
Yeah, I tell people that if they're rolling a 20-sided die, yeah, the old RAND is just fine, you know. But if they're doing any kind of cryptography or anything like that, that you shouldn't be using that, and you should be either using the new RAND that we've got that you put in, or if you're not on 7,
Random Compact.
Oh, okay. Anthony Ferrara had a
Random Lib. Yep.
Okay, yeah. That is a drop-in shim for that if you don't have 7. But quite honestly, since all of the 5s are end of life now, you should be on 7. So
absolutely.
Anyhow, well, sure. I want to thank you for taking the time to be here today. We're right up on the time limit, and turns out that phone call that has rung 3 times now is my wife, so I can go find out what's going on. but I want to thank you for taking the time to be here today. Real quick, before I let you go, same questions I ask everybody. What's your local user group? What's the URL?
The local user group is the Chicago PHP UG, and we meet pretty regularly, almost every month, somewhere in downtown Chicago. And the URL is on Meetup. So if you just go to meetup.com and look for it, but it's meetup.com/Chicago-PHP-user-group.
Ah.
That'll get you there.
I'll put a link in the show notes to it. I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank SiteGround for sponsoring. And hey, for those of you listening, go out to iTunes and give us a rating and leave us some feedback. We'd really appreciate that. Sammy, thank you so much for being here. And you give so much back to us with the podcast, with some of the great sessions that you've created and spoke at different conferences, and of course with being a core contributor. From the entire community, thank you for everything that you're giving to us.
Thank you so much, Cal. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled E-L-E-P-H-P-A-N-T.